I'm Alice Creswell. Welcome to my podcast. Check out my website, alicecreswell.com, for more resources and to send me a message.
So, yeah, as I was saying earlier, you might not have heard me say it, but I thought, with it being Q&A, it'd be quite good to have Rob's opinion on some of these things. What I was saying earlier was that the difficult questions, I'm going to get Rob to answer. Oh, lots of hearts just came up there. That was good. So, has anybody got a question? Anybody want to start asking questions? It could be, you know, about any of the homework you've had or the episodes that you've been watching so far, the videos, on this week's topic, which is understanding the spiritual dimension. Anything kind of related to that, or any things you've been struggling with, or any comments at all, just feel free to ask them and we'll answer as best we can. So far this month we've done Born From Above, was the first video, and that was where we saw that lady in Germany. That was amazing, that she was a Muslim. I think she was from Turkey. And she ended up giving her life to Jesus after she was healed by Jesus in the car park, the parking lot. And okay, Astrid, I can see you've got a question. Do you want to ask? Just ask the questions on here, and hopefully I'll try and get to.
We can find them, can't we?
Yeah, just ask away. You don't need to ask. If you can ask a question, just ask it, and we will try and cover them all as best we can. So the first week was Born From Above. Then we had God Is Light, and that was where we went on the streets of Chester. And we met that young lady called Sophie, I think her name was.
That's right.
And she was really open and she was asking, you know, she was seeing things. She saw an angel, she saw demons leaving her when we invited the light to come. And then last week we had the video Knowing God with that, the lady that was kind of she was a bit gothed up, wasn't she? And she was holding a sign and she had like lots of makeup on, but into sort of occult looking kind of symbols as well. So
yeah, well, somebody was asking the question, did she have an opportunity? Was she given an opportunity to give her life to the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little bit of a delay in responding to that. We try and get to all your questions when we can, but I've never known Alice talk to anybody on the street or wherever she may be ministering to people in the marketplace and miss an opportunity to say, do you know Jesus? Do you know him personally? Would you like to know him? And although that was only a clip from that encounter, she would have certainly been asked that question.
Yeah. Hi, Tim. Good to see you. You're in my new book.
Hey, Tim.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Yesterday, I finished writing my new book, putting it all together. I wrote the last paragraph, the last bit yesterday. So I'm very excited. It's called Unexpected Miracles. And it's every chapter is a different person. And it's their biography, really, or autobiography. And what I did is I interviewed different people. A lot of them are people that we came across in our cafe or our shop or at one of our workshops who's actually given their life to Jesus, or they got miraculously healed, but they've had some kind of miracle happen to them. And it's there, each chapter is their story, you know, different person in each chapter. So, Tim, who's on here, I've just seen you. Hi, Tim. He's in it. He got dramatically healed last summer. So amazing. You'll have to read the book to find out what happened.
It's very, very powerful. It's very moving. Real life stories. Diverse people, isn't it, from lots of different backgrounds.
It is. And just, yeah, every time I read it or I was working on it, you know, editing it and writing it out, I was crying most of the time, wasn't I? I was like, oh, this is
amazing.
What's
the title came up with?
Unexpected Miracles. So, in fact, Rob came up with that title.
You've heard of expect a miracle. We use that phrase a lot, and it's good to have that expectation and that intentionality. But we thought that a thread running through all these stories was these are people that weren't even necessarily expecting a miracle, and it's like God just ambushed them and broke in, breakthrough in their lives in dramatic and spectacular ways. So it's great, isn't it?
So we've got, there's a lady who was a satanic witch. There's a guy who was a sniper, and there was somebody that was a Muslim. We've got so many different people, and their lives get dramatically changed by Jesus. So it's a wonderful book to read for yourself, but also to give away to other people as well. So that should be out, I think, I'm hoping by April, so we have to get a move on.
Okay, we're going to take some questions.
Yeah, I've got lots of questions coming up. Okay. So Ivy, thank you for your comment there. So Francis, how do I pray for a friend's husband that wants to divorce her? They're both Christians. Oh, wow. What do you think, Rob?
Well, prayer is always a good policy, isn't it? You hear this phrase sometimes. You know, we've tried everything, we're going to have to pray. And it's like prayer is often the last thing we do, but it's never a bad idea to pray, is it? To ask God to intervene. And you know what? We don't know how to pray. And Paul mentions this, says the Spirit knows what we need to pray. And often if we don't have that wisdom, that insight, we can ask God for wisdom. You know, that there's a gift of wisdom that we can ask for. But if we're not receiving any guidance or revelation, pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit, pray those prayers that are just resonating with God's heart, and pray the kingdom over that couple. You know, that the Spirit would invade the home, that he would manifest in unexpected ways. That's often, you know, he's called our helper for a reason, isn't he?
That's good. And just pray, just always in everything be led by the Holy Spirit. So, and we don't know the situation at but it's that the Holy Spirit knows. God knows, doesn't he? And he knows, obviously, his heart is for restoration. God's heart is always for restoration where possible. So, but we don't know all the details. So good answer. Okay, the next question. Chrissy says, when you've prayed for, say, healing and you don't see the healing, should you continue praying on a daily basis or just believe that you've been healed, move on? Now, is this where you're talking about praying for somebody else or praying for yourself?
Well, that sounds like this is for when you're praying for yourself.
Yeah, so if you're contending for healing, so sometimes you don't see it straight away, but you don't give up. That's the thing. You've got to keep at it and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, is there anything blocking you receiving your healing? Because sometimes, you know, that's what I've written in my book, How to Be Healed and Stay Healed. I've got a chapter on blockages to healing, because very often there are things we don't know all the time why we're not being healed, but sometimes there are different reasons for that. So, but you don't have to keep saying, God, please heal me, because Jesus did it all on the cross 2000 years ago. So you just need to receive that healing, find out from the Lord if anything's blocking it, and deal with that if you need to. But just keep telling it. That's what I did. Just keep telling it, you're healed in Jesus' name, and I tell those symptoms to go, and don't come into agreement with them. So that's what I always say, isn't it? Just don't come into agreement with the symptoms at all. And
I think there's a narrow way that we have to find often, particularly if we're dealing with a long-term condition as believers, that can be quite tough, because we do want to have a zero tolerance attitude and say, no, this is not part of my inheritance. This is not what Jesus intended for me when he died on the cross. But at the same time, we need to be able to be honest about the situation and keep walking without that thing becoming a stumbling block or something that really becomes our focus too much. So we keep our eyes on Jesus, and we need to just keep that our spirit sweet and keep that spirit of thankfulness towards him. And you know, quite often our breakthrough in healing can come when we're not actually thinking about healing at all. We're focusing on Jesus, and there's something very powerful because there's a sacrifice in that, where we have an attitude of worship, and often healing can be imparted through that. But it's not easy. It's a narrow way, and we just stand with you for your healing in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And keep following after him. Keep focused on him.
Yeah, good. So now Astrid is saying, does everybody have to wait 12 years to do healing? Because, you know, I was saying earlier that I was really contending for 12 years and didn't see any miracles really while I was praying for other people. And she's saying, well, everyone that is doing miracles says it's for all, but it seems it doesn't work for all, even though the Bible says that. Why is it so easy but also so difficult? That's a good question. I think there's lots of different answers to this. I could talk for a long time, but no, not everybody has to wait 12 years to move in healing. I think with me, what I realized afterwards was that if I'd actually prayed for somebody that got healed more or less straight away, the pride in my heart would have just been like, whoa, it would not have been good for me or for anybody else. And I know with me, the Lord had to deal with my character and get me to, you know, he's interested in our character, isn't he? And our response to things. And very often we're in a test. You know, we don't always realize this, but very often in our life we're having a test, and we just need to pass that test to move on and get on to the next phase, really, next stage. But I think part of it with me as well was that, you know, one of the things he asked us to do was to give up our career and our dream home, and we were obedient to a lot of things that he asked us to do, and that kind of comes into it. So there's lots of different reasons, so we had to go through all of that. But what we found is that we were contending for seeing healing, I thought, just because I wanted to see people healed. What I didn't realize was it was about more than just me. So once we did see the breakthrough, and if you keep going and not give up, you will see a breakthrough. But when we did see the breakthrough, not only did it open a door for us to step into and see miracles, but it opened a door for everybody else, like you, and people around us to step into miracles straight away. So what we're finding is, you know, we do workshops all the time, and at the workshops, we release miracles, but we actually say, come on, you have a go. And as people step out and have a go, they are launched into miracles instantly. And I'm thinking, well, it took me 12 years. Other people can do it straight away, but we carry a breaker anointing for that.
Do you remember the little boy who came out in a meeting?
Yeah.
And prayed for that lady.
That's right. That I was in North Wales, in Wrexham, and there was a boy who was 4 years old, and there was a woman who had a deformed hand, like a bit like a withered hand, and she couldn't stretch it out, she couldn't use it. It was like a claw before. She actually describes it being like a claw. And this four-year-old, when I said, who wants to do a miracle? This four-year-old boy ran out because we were in a meeting, and he came and prayed very simply for this lady. And I just said, stretch out your hand. And she stretched out her arm. It was completely healed. And the glass that was under her skin that had been there for 26 years or something disappeared at the same time. So, yeah, if a four-year-old boy can do it, if I can do it, anybody can. It's the power of Jesus. That's the thing. It's not our own power, our own strength, which is, that's good, isn't it? Okay. Chanel says, while watching the video of me praying with a lady with the unusual makeup, she said, I felt the presence of the Lord very strongly. Yeah, that's good. And very often you'll find that if you can be watching something happening on a video or ministering to somebody else, and you just feel the presence of the Spirit of Jesus strongly. I love his presence, and I love feeling that, actually feeling it tangibly as well, not just knowing it.
Yeah, it's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Jodie says, I have a question. I have noticed more spiritual activity lately, which is great. I'm trying to die out to anything that is not of God. I was wanting to know how long it took you to die out and God to start using you completely. I try to follow the will of God always. What do you think? I think I'm still, it's a still onward journey.
It is. And, you know, we talk about healing and we talk about, you know, those manifestations of the Spirit that we all love to see, that power, that kingdom authority. But in the end, it boils down to relationship, which I think is what you're talking about, Jody, isn't it? It's a daily thing. It's it's not the same as being on some kind of achievement hierarchy where, you know, we suddenly get to the top and, you know, we've arrived and it's all over, because our relationship in God is eternal and it's new every day. We get to partake of his life, and although, you know, we believe that out of that inner life the power of the Spirit manifests, because authority in our lives manifests through walking humbly before God, doesn't it? Yeah. Which is what you mean, I think, when you're talking about dying out. Yeah. It's that sense of, I want more of you in my life, Lord.
It's laying down your life. And the thing is, when you ask Jesus into your life, your life is no longer your own. You know, you give him your life. So you just got to realize that you are dead and alive in Christ. You know, your old self is gone. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Galatians 2:20 says that.
We very much believe that as we go deeper in our daily devotion and our service of the Lord, then he is the one who lifts us up. He is the one who promotes. So again, it's just keeping our eyes fixed on him. That's a great way to live your life.
Yeah, and being obedient. Everything he says to do, just do it. And if he says don't do it, then don't do it. And okay, so Ivy is saying, when does your new book get released? We don't know exactly, but we're hoping by April would be good. Karen, even in my assignment to have better communication with the Lord, I felt afar from him. Is that a problem, or what can I do about that? I've been keeping the faith, but it's been harder now.
Yeah, I do think we all know anybody who's been a Christian and walking with the Lord for longer than a year, say, I'd say, well done, good and faithful servant. We live in a fallen world, and it's not easy, Karen, is it, as the years go by. And we salute all of you who are on this mentoring course and saying, I just want God 100% and I want to be used by him, because that really pleases his heart. Just the fact that you're in this group, Karen, shows that there's just something in you that is wanting to pursue God, and you know, you're reaching out and wanting encouragement and help, which is absolutely right. We can't do this on our own. We have the Holy Spirit as our helper, but we need each other as well, don't we?
We do. And I think also, you know, you don't, because I like, you know, I was saying before, I love the actual tangible feeling of the Spirit of Jesus, Holy Spirit with us, God with us. But you don't always have that. And sometimes, you know, if you're not actually feeling that wonderful, it's hard to express, isn't it? But that lovely feeling of the presence of Jesus, then you can start thinking, well, is there something wrong? I feel like I'm far from God, but actually you're not, because he's in you and you're in him, and he's closer than your breath. You know, he's there. So just keep talking to him, and then listen and spend time waiting on him and letting him speak to you. And just even if you're not hearing him speaking or feeling his presence there, just talk to him. And I'm always saying to the Holy Spirit, oh, I love you. And he doesn't always say it back, or he probably does, but I don't always hear him say it back. But sometimes he does, and I hear it. But just Yeah, just keep, just with any relationship, you've got to invest in it as well. So just keep spending time with him and reading the Word of God, the Bible. But you have phases, like you say, it's sometimes the Lord will speak to you in a different way to how he's spoken to you before. So sometimes you can have maybe lots of dreams where God speaks, and other times he doesn't give you dreams and you're thinking, well, something's happening, but he wants you to press in to him, and he loves that hunger. So just ask him to give you more of a hunger for his presence, and just, yeah, just keep spending time with him.
Yeah, and you will, Karen, it'll be a season. Often the Lord works through seasons. So we may feel like we're having a dry season, but, you know, the morning is coming, the spring is coming, and it will come to pass. And you will find that it, as you've walked faithfully through the dry season, that there will be such a reward and such a feeling of assignment and promotion when you come out of that into the next season. I believe that for you particularly.
Yeah, that's good. So let's have a look. I'm just seeing we've got some more comments here. Okay, so Susan is saying, hi, Alison Rob. Hi, Susan. She's saying, you've prayed for 12 years. Oh, you did pray, because I do now, but see miracles. But she said, you did pray for 12 years and did not see much result. What is the key that triggered the miracles and healings? Is one of the keys to the stepping into the miraculous to do with praying in tongues for longer hours? Well, praying in tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit that we read about in 1 Corinthians 12. And it is a good thing to have. But when you, to step out in miracles, there's no formula for seeing the sick get well. There's not a formula. So you can't, it would be great, wouldn't it, if you said, well, if I pray for 3 hours a day, I'm going to see miracles. But you can't, it doesn't work like that. Praying in the spirit, praying in tongues is a good thing to do. And yes, you probably can never pray too much in the spirit in that way, but it is not a prerequisite for seeing miracles. Because I know a lot of people who, they give their lives to Jesus and within 2 minutes they're seeing miracles, and they've never even, you know, spoken once in tongues. So it's not that. So you're asking basically what were the keys that triggered the miracles. We just touched on it earlier. I think part of it was not giving up. So I mean, I prayed for 12 years thereabouts. It might be that you've been praying for longer than that and not seen any miracles, or you might have been praying for 2 weeks, you know. So the length of time does not really matter. It's the fact that you do not give up. So you believe what the Word of God says, what the Bible says, what Jesus has commanded us to do. He says, heal the sick. So we need to go and do that. So the more people you pray for, the more likely you are to see a miracle, which is, that's, I think that's true. When we opened our cafe, that's when the miracles really broke out. But there was a lot going on up until that point. One of the things I mentioned earlier was that the Lord told us to, he called us to give up our career, which meant giving up our dream home. There was lots of different things that he asked us to do. He really put the neighborhood of Blaken on my heart in particular. And I was a businesswoman, and I was just praying for this needy neighborhood. Every time I drove through it or in the middle of the night, I'd be crying and praying, and I'm really interceding for these people. And then he told us to sell our house and to move to this needy neighborhood of Blaken. So we were obedient, and we felt the Lord saying to get this cafe, which we got the building for free. 4 years we had that. That was all amazing. We stepped out in faith in so many different ways.
It was... It's almost like, have you heard this expression, the perfect storm? We'd been to ministry school. God had given particularly Alice this burden of compassion for this community that we're in. He'd graciously given us the use of this building right in the middle of one of the most difficult parts of the community. We opened the doors 10 years ago. Nearly to the week. It was February.
And, ten years ago this week.
We just made ourselves available, but you can imagine that it was just that combination of compassion, generosity, and servanthood. And we weren't on our own. We were surrounded by people who joined us, who wanted to serve as well, who who wanted to be part of a church plant. So it's all those things together, and there's no formula, but it's just trying to navigate with God, be in the right place, pray when he tells you to pray, worship when he tells you to worship, and you know, just follow the Holy Spirit, and your breakthrough will come.
Yeah, that's true. And another thing that happened at the same time was, you know, I've been praying for God to send revival for years, which is a good thing to pray. But actually, about the same time we opened the cafe, the Lord said to me, you know, I think I was praying like, rend the heavens and come down. I remember the Lord saying to me, I already did that 2,000 years ago. I came down, I gave up everything and paid the price. And now, so the Lord just basically said to me, instead of praying for revival, just be revival everywhere you go. And something, even though I'd been praying for all these years, something just changed in me. And I thought, yeah, I'm just going to release the kingdom of heaven's within me. I'm going to release it now. I'm not going to wait for it to come down somehow from the sky or whatever, that God's going to do that. He's done it. The kingdom of heaven, if you know Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And just release that everywhere you go. And start to imagine, we've already been doing this in the activations each week, but the light that is in you, the presence of Jesus that you carry, is not just a little tiny ball in your belly somewhere. It's actually massive. The Holy Spirit is massive. Your spirit, as you're following Jesus, is massive. So imagine as you're walking down the street, that you're not this little person, but actually you've got this, the Holy Spirit is not just in you, he's around you. Sometimes I've done that, and people have actually fallen down when I've walked past them, and I've not even been anywhere near them, but just the presence of Jesus that you carry can affect people around you. Like, you know, the Apostle Peter, he would walk down the street and people got healed just as his shadow passed over them. So you can do that. Okay, let's see. We've got some good comments there. I'm just looking for any more questions. We're going to finish in a moment. Oh, Tina, that's a question. Is it, how did you hear from God about making your changes in life, like moving from your beautiful home? Okay, that's a good question. Because very often people, you know, you'll hear people say, oh, God told me to do this, or God told me to do that. And you're thinking, well, why should he speak to me like that, really loud and clear? But actually, he normally speaks, certainly to me, very quietly. It's that still small voice that, you know, that Elijah heard. And what happened was that, you know, I was saying I was a businesswoman. We had our own business in our dream home. And I, at the time, I had somebody working for me part time, and she knew Jesus as well. But I remember getting into the office that one particular morning. And even though it was, everything was going really well with my career, I was working for myself, had my own business. But I remember sitting at my desk that morning, and I just thought, oh, I can't do this anymore. It was just like a random thought. Very often, if you get some kind of random thought or random feeling, just think, why am I thinking that? Why am I feeling that? Especially if it's a bit of a coincidence, because what happened next was Sue, who was working for me, she came into work like an hour late, which she never did. And I said to her, are you okay, Sue? And she said, well, I just got this feeling like I just can't do this anymore. And we were like, that's just so weird, because we both felt the same thing in the same morning. And because she knew Jesus as well, I said, let's pray together. So we just spent the rest of the day praying. We didn't do any work. We just prayed all day and said, Lord, are you trying to tell us something? Because just the slightest little thing, you've got to pick up on that, because you'll be hearing the Lord, or maybe the enemy's trying to do something, but you've got to be aware of those things. And so that later that day, I went back. The office was connected to our house at the time. I went back into our house at the end of the day, saw Rob, and I said, there's something going on. I'm just wondering whether maybe we're supposed to give up this business, give up our career. And Rob, who's an amazing husband, we've been married for 30 years, believe it or not. Anyway, this is probably about, kind of 20 years ago, was it, that this happened? I can't remember now, it's a while ago. And maybe 15 years, 18 years ago. And Rob said to me, he said, you know, if that's the Holy Spirit, then we really need to hear God, and we need to do what the Lord's saying. And if that's right, then of course we'll give up the business, we'll give up our dream home. And just after he said that, I got a phone call from a friend of ours, and she said she'd been out walking her dog that day, and suddenly felt the Lord say to pray for us. And she looked down on the field where she was, and there was a pound coin. That's our, you know, it's the UK currency. And those of you in other countries, you don't have a pound, but she found some money on the floor. And she really felt the Lord saying to tell us, just do whatever God's telling you to do. Don't worry about the money, you're going to be okay. And so that was like three things. There was how I felt. There was this, my friend who was working for me at the time, she felt the same. And then this, randomly, my other friend called up and had this word from the Lord for us. And we just knew, by the end of the day, we knew it was God. And we acted quickly, didn't we? When you know it's God, you've got to act quickly. And so, yeah, it's a longer story than that, but that hopefully will give you some idea of how he speaks to us. Yeah. And
you look for those confirmations, don't you? Those
affirmations. Yeah, and sometimes you don't get confirmations so clearly, but it'll just be a small thing. You might pick up your Bible to read it, and there's a scripture there that is just saying exactly what you've just been thinking, you know. So
because again, it's about relationship, and it's it happens over time, and it's like the Lord is just always wanting to draw you closer to him and press him. And he will do that through any and every way, and through other people too.
Yeah. Okay, so any other questions? I can't see any more on there. Can we pray for you? Would that be a good idea? So if you're sitting with somebody, just hold their hand. If not, maybe just put your hand up, and we're gonna bless you, and we wanna release some miracles for you as well. So we pray for everybody that's watching this, yes, whether it's live or you're watching it later, we're praying for you as well.
Yes, Jesus.
And we want to release a blessing, yes, for you, for your life, and for those around you, your family, yes, and those of your loved ones. And this really is a season, you know, of families getting breakthrough, coming to know Jesus, getting healings, just having breakthrough in families, not just in individuals' lives. So we release that for you and for your family and for those around you, that we ask right now for the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to come more, that you can feel his presence more strongly, because he's already with you, but that you would really know his manifest presence, the presence of Jesus right now, that you would know his love and his power in your life. We release a blessing from heaven.
Yes.
And that you and your family would be blessed, that you would hear clearly from him, that your eyes would be opened both naturally. So anybody that needs healing in their eyes, we've seen a lot of people's eyes healed, haven't we, recently, where we've been going. Just people needing glasses, and then suddenly they don't need them anymore. So we release the miracles of sight, of seeing naturally and spiritually, that your eyes would be opened. We remove any veil that has been put there, you know, a natural one or a physical one or a spiritual veil that the enemy puts there. We just tell those things to leave in the name of Jesus, that all of your senses would be receptive to the presence of Jesus, and to have, you know, God's voice in all different ways he speaks to you. We release dreams for you at night, and also dreams that he's going to put on your heart, things for you to do and be passionate about, that those would be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. And also just miracles, any miracles. If you need any healing miracles, if you need any kind of financial or any type of breakthrough in relationships, I can say that. We release those for you. So we bless you. It's been really good. Thank you for all your questions. We just like to hear it from you.
Check out my website, alicecreswell.com, for more resources and to send me a message.